Dear Diary, my mom and dad enrolled me in Catholic school, and it's 10 times better than my old school, even though it's a lot different. I go to different grades each day. For reading, I go to Ms. Griffin's second grade class, and then I go to Mr. Kramer's first grade class for math. And I don't go back to my kindergarten class with Ms. Peters until after lunch. But who cares? I'm excited because I go to school with Melissa and Lindsay. And that means I finally have friends that are all mine. And they like me for me being me. I didn't have to tell anybody any crazy lie about being related to the Jackson 5 and Janet Jackson or going to school with Cindy Brady. I just like having friends and I like finally being normal. When I got back to my kindergarten class, Ms. Peters said that the office sent her a note stating that Melissa's mom was going to pick me up after school today. Yes! It was hard to figure out who was happier, me or Melissa. So during nap time, Melissa and I were whispering all the ways we could influence her mom into letting her stay the night at my house. And like I said before, I'm pretty influential. And we had every type of rebuttal for any possible no her mom might give. And then Miss Peters told us to stop talking and take a nap. But who was I fooling? I was too excited for a nap. And 3 o'clock couldn't get here fast enough. Melissa's dad ended up picking us up from school. No problem. He was always nice. And he'll probably say yes without needing too many reasons why Melissa spending the night was a good idea. In the car, Melissa was nudging me to get the conversation rolling with her dad, and I was nudging her to get it started. Oh, goodness, this isn't getting us anywhere, and it looks like I have to do everything around here. Hey, Mr. Randall, do you know what would be great? And I don't give him a chance to even answer. I hit him with it all at once. Wham, bam, diggity-diggity-dink. If my mom says yes, Melissa can spend the night at my house. Then you won't have to worry about getting her school uniform together because she can wear one of mine. And I even have 2 extra toothbrushes that I haven't even used yet. So when you drop me off, Melissa can just stay at my house, okay? Then Mr. Randall answered, "No, baby girl, you're coming over to our house. Your dad is going to pick you up on his way home from work. You girls can get started with your homework, and then you can play." Now, that wasn't part of the plan. Melissa was supposed to come to my house. And then I started thinking, if I go to Melissa's house, then that means, oh, Malcolm. Melissa started talking about how exciting it was going to be at her house. But have you ever watched someone's lips moving and you were so riddled with fear, you couldn't hear anything that person was saying? Not one word. Well, I tried to hold it together as I looked out the window. Damn it, there's that dang grocery store by their house. We're almost there. Hey, Mr. Randall, I need to go home right now because I have to go and feed King. Mr. Randall, he didn't even respond to me. And then we pulled right into the driveway and I was completely out of ideas. And it was too late because we were already here and Mr. Randall was telling us to get out of the car. We walked in the house and it was totally quiet. Okay, no Malcolm. But wait, Melissa, where is your big brother? She shrugged her shoulders. He's probably not here yet because he doesn't have to come straight home from school. Okay, so I'm a little bit more relaxed, but I just need my dad to get here. Melissa and I finished our homework, and that gave us some time to play in the backyard. So we made mud cakes. I decorated mine with blades of grass and a leaf in the middle. Picasso, if I must say so myself. And we put them on the grass to let them bake in the sun. And pretty soon, Mr. Randall called us from the screen door and told us to come in for dinner. And I sure was hoping my dad was going to be here by now. What is taking him so long? He is usually home right around dinner time. Melissa had to use the restroom, so that meant I had to wait for her to get out of the restroom so I could go into the restroom to wash my hands to get the mud off. No worries. I was careful not to touch anything until I could get in that bathroom, and so I washed up. Wait a minute! If my nose wasn't deceiving me, I'm pretty sure that smells like something Italian. And you know me, your girl Avis loves her some Italian food. Maybe it's lasagna. Maybe it's spaghetti. I just hope it's not that ravioli stuff that comes in a can. But I hurried up, dried my hands off, and I headed straight down the hallway. And then the door on the left opened, and Malcolm stood there staring at me. And he looked really angry. And I froze. It was more like I was paralyzed. And I couldn't even form the words to call out for help to Mr. Randall. And Malcolm stared me down, and it was absolutely frightening. And then those protruding elf ears that he had made him look even scarier to me. And there was absolutely no one or nothing that scared me more than him. And I peed on myself. Right there, on their wood floor, I emptied my entire bladder. And then the doorbell rang, and I heard my dad's voice. And Malcolm yelled out that somebody needs to come check on her because I peed on myself. Mr. Randall came down the hallway, followed by my dad, and then there was Melissa. And I stood there, and Malcolm was leaning against the wall. And Mr. Randall went into the linen closet and just grabbed towels. And I was too scared to be embarrassed. And Mr. Randall was telling my dad that it was no big deal. And my dad looked like he was disgusted. And the more disgusted or slightly embarrassed my dad was, the more Mr. Randall continued to say it was no big deal. It's okay. These things happen. No, they don't happen to people at 5. I probably should have muttered out to Malcolm that I didn't say anything to anybody. Then maybe he wouldn't be staring me down, scaring me to death, and then I wouldn't be back to the abnormal Avis once again. On the drive home, I sat on a towel, me and my urine, and my dad kept asking me what got into me. I don't know. I mean, I know, but I can't tell you. Here come the tears. All of them. And at home, my mom got a whiff of me, my urine, and the story of what happened. My dad's edited version, or at least the parts that he witnessed, sounded just as bad. My mom told me to go get into the tub, and I came out of that bathroom expecting a whipping with my name on it. And maybe I would have had one, but my mom was busy nursing my sister. And my dad sat at the table with me as we ate dinner. And I do pretty well implementing my own discipline. So immediately after I finished eating, I jumped my butt right into bed. My mom opened my door, and I would pretend I was fast asleep, which meant my eyes were probably tighter than they should have been. And my mom muttered under her breath, "She knows damn well she's not asleep." And then she closed the door. The next morning, my mom sent me to school with the towel Mr. Randall sent home with me. And when I got to school, Melissa was in line waiting for her chance to play on the swings. And I ran over to her and I let her know my mom gave me back the towel to give to you. And I unzipped my backpack. And Melissa said louder than she probably needed to, "You peed on it. I don't want that." "No, shh. My mom already washed it." So I handed Melissa the towel. And then she sniffed it. "Really?" And then she's talking all loud, talking about she doesn't want it. It smells like pee. "No, it doesn't. That's bleacher smelling." I tell you, that school bell couldn't have rung any sooner for me. I ran to go stand in line so that we could say the pledge and go do our prayers. And when Melissa came to the line, she didn't have the towel with her, but I didn't care. I gave it to her. Meanwhile, Melissa, Lindsay, and a group of other girls were so busy chanting, "Pee Pee Baby!" Great. This is great. Here we go again. At lunch recess, Melissa, Lindsay, and a group of girls and a few boys were following behind me chanting, "Pee Pee Baby!" And some kids even ran up to me saying I smelled like pee. And it seemed like the more I cried, the more they teased. So I'd had enough, and I walked over to Miss Terry, the noon duty aide, to let her know that a group of boys and girls were teasing me, saying that I smelled like pee just because I accidentally peed on myself yesterday. Miss Terry said I needed to be a big girl, and big girls don't pee on themselves. And when you stop peeing on yourself, I'm sure they will leave you alone. That's it? That's the best you can do? Oh, goodness, adults. I could have done this job myself. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll handle it from here. I charged towards Melissa, tears flowing. And somebody screamed, "Run! It's Pee Pee Baby!" And it would seem that Melissa has forgotten that I run faster than her. I had to remind her, at least by action, that she won by default. So when I caught up to her, the abnormal Avis from deep down within told me to push her. So I did. And who knew? Miss Terry would then turn into the adult I thought I was confiding in earlier. Beep, 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 with that darn whistle. "I saw you. You pushed her." And isn't it amazing how Miss Terry would decide to take action now? Long story short, yeah, I know, too late. Well, I ended up in trouble. And to us Catholics, that means I got swats. 5 of them to be exact. And after the phone call made to my mom, those 5 swats were only going to be the beginning. The next day at school, everybody wanted to know if I got in trouble at home. Who are these people that continue to thrive off of my punishment and misfortune? Translation: if you thought the lies about the Jackson 5, Janet Jackson, and Cindy Brady was the biggest lie ever, do buckle up. At the age of 5, I internalized it all. I couldn't figure out what it was about me that made people want to harm me, even if it was only Malcolm. And if I wasn't being sexually abused, people made fun of how I dealt with or reacted to the abuse. And it was only me that this happened to. I mean, I couldn't take a survey of others to find out if they were as scarred as me. Mum's the word. And it would be a long, long time before I ever trusted anyone else in my real life to poke fun of me or thrive off of my misfortune. In the meantime, if people liking the untrue me is what they truly enjoyed, then that is exactly what I was going to give them. Because more than what they could take away from me, this 5-year-old was wanting and needing friendship, acceptance, and the opportunity to feel normal. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Unbelievable Tales of Avis LaRue. And thank you for sharing the podcast with your friends and family. I hope you will be able to join me again next week for another episode. And as the distribution continues to grow, you can catch this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, iTunes, SoundCloud, and iHeartRadio, just to name a few. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and TikTok. In the meantime, please subscribe to receive notifications of upcoming episodes, videos, and more. You'll find the subscription link in my bio. And until next week, stay safe, stay secure.